Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What's going on, everybody? It is BJ. Apparently, I did not irritate Pat enough to be taken off these. So I am back once again with another episode of That's What I Call Gay Life with more members of my B team and a special guest. So today we have Reese.
Hey, hey.
And we have Dom.
Hello.
And we have our special guest, Hadrian.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to say hi.
Of course I want to say hi. You guys are great. Thank you for having me on here.
This is why they this is why they don't give me the actual like live interviews. You're probably wondering once again, what weird topic do I have to warrant having our B team in? And today we're going to be talking about social relevance and porn. I promise you it's not a TED Talk, or I'll try to make it not a TED Talk, but it'll probably be a TED Talk. So a while ago when I was thinking up topics for my B team and today, and the word for the B word for this episode is bussy.
Wonderful.
Do we scream when we hear that word?
Yes.
I can't take that word seriously. Like when it is used earnestly, when someone's trying to be like sexy, I just can't. It is so odd sounding. Just say pussy. Just say pussy at that point.
I agree.
Thrissy?
Oh.
I don't need the prefixes to the pussy word. I can just say it.
What about that oogie bagussy?
Oh, that's right. I was gonna say for those of you listening, we're recording this right before Halloween, so if we drop a couple of spooky references and Pat doesn't post this till Thanksgiving, just know that's the time frame we're in. If you're like, why are they making spooky spookussy jokes throughout this episode? But when I was thinking about topics to do for this series, the idea of porn came up, and understandably so, the rest of my castmates were like, I'm not talking about the porn that I watch. And I was like, what could you possibly be into? Because I think they're pretty vanilla, but they're probably all secretly freaks and like having it kept a secret. Me personally, I've talked about every thing which way on the regular podcast. So, but it made me think during the shutdown, we had all the stuff with George Floyd. We had everything with the Black Lives Matter movement, and it changed the way some people consume media. If it didn't, I'm watching you. however, it made me think, like, I don't know if I personally changed how I consumed pornographic media. Like, you know, stories, comics, art. Pornographic media kind of goes, you have hentai, you've got all different mediums for porn. But it's like porn is such a private thing to some people. People aren't also gonna like censor themselves with
it's it. One of those things where like you're attracted to something, like you already kind of the more wrong something is, the hotter it kind of gets to you. Like it's an inherent, you know, there's something wrong with some of the dirtier stuff.
Well, and like most Americans, we know generally what we're into and that we share certain things, but you know, like all four of us like men and we like dick, but what are the details of the kind of dick that we like? And that's where things start getting scary, where you think you're normal. You start comparing the actual search entries and you're like, oh, things are way more different than we thought. Like you like fat dicks and I like greasy dicks or something like that. You know, it's a matter of, it's the devil's in the details when it comes to social comparison.
Exactly. Normally I force everybody to share their like deepest, darkest secrets and desires, because that's the point of this series, is improving my life through everyone else's pain. So I don't have to learn a lesson if I get to see somebody else learn a lesson. But being as this is like a super interesting topic to me, I'll set the tone. And so for me, it happened one night. I had all the lotion and everything out. I had some cupcake playing on the old speaker, and mm-hmm. I realized, mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have a lot of space on my hard drive. Let me clear out some porn. And I found an entire folder filled with cop porn.
Oh, God.
And this was this was early 2021 or middle 2021 when I did this.
Boy. So yeah. Then you downloaded it, or when you moved it to this folder of shame?
No, when I was just opening my folder of shame to like evaluate. I was like, okay, let's see what I haven't watched in a while. There was a cop porn folder, there's a straight porn folder. And I was like, oh no. Wait,
so I'm familiar with the categorized folders, of course.
And I was like, cop porn. And I hadn't opened it in forever, but I realized I definitely had watched some on like, websites like XTube or XHamster and stuff like that. I was like, let's take a peek. And I just, and there was at least 40 videos and I was like, oh no, no. No. Well, so I just deleted it cold turkey, and it was hard. It was like, I mean, it was hard, but it was like, I got rid of it. But then when I started perusing online, it kept kind of floating in amongst the tabs I would make. And I was like, I have to make a conscious effort to like, because it gave me the ick. It was still kind of hot, but it gave me the ick. And then when I started kind of looking at something that I watch generally privately, I was like, oh no. Because let me tell you, the straight folder was definitely worse. And I was like, it was weird for me, because porn's never given me the ick before.
Well, tell me more about this ick. Was it actual shame?
It was a mixture of shame and I don't know. It's hard to describe, because it was like I watched it. I mean, let's be clear. I definitely snuck a peek or two. and
you
I was
had to,
like,
had to make sure you wanted to delete them.
this porn, massive porn folder I have on another drive is like at least like 20 gigs. So I was like watching it, and one of the videos I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. It's this guy like corners a cop and then like is like a dom bottom and rides the cop, and they both get off, and then he just lets him off with a warning. And I'm like, okay, that's cute. But then like you've got the pervert cop driving around town looking for black dudes to fuck. And I was like, it felt weird. It felt weird, and it was, I can tell if I had less of a socially relevant mind, like if I wasn't thinking about kind of what was happening out in the world, I could probably power through it. But it just gave me this weird semi-guilt, not really guilty, but just like
it took you out of it.
It took me out of it. Actually, that's just it. Is it took me out of it. And normally when I watch porn, I'm in it. Like, I am, I'm swimming through it. I've got the blindfold on myself. The fantasy is running hot. And then, but when it's something that bridges that gap between fantasy and, I guess, like the scarier parts of reality, that's when I was like, sorry, Sergeant Diddles, you've got to go.
So I think that's very interesting because you're right. You should have that little bit of a lens, and we should use that consciousness when we think about the porn we're not maybe consuming, but purchasing and spending money on and putting our support behind. But I look at porn, and the first thing I see is a production set. I see actors. I see people who got paid a few hundred bucks to come in and do this work for a little while and act like he was a cop for a few minutes. So I can put it out. I'm like, they're not promoting an agenda. They're taking a really common fantasy that has been around since the beginning of the filming of porn happened in the 1920s and 30s, and said, getting pulled over by a cop. It actually, one of the first porns that was ever made was actually in that same drain. It was two women in a car who broke down, and they run into two men, and they barter with them to fix the car, and they have sex with them while they're waiting on the side of the road. You know, it's not exactly the cop fantasy, but it is an exploitation fantasy of sorts. So
exactly,
we've been doing this for a long time. And if you look at all porn, they're all actors. They're all on a set. They're all just trying to replicate an idea that we think is hot. And I think something you'll see out of the industry is that those storylines don't hold as much weight as they used to. Or if they do, they're being very pointed about what they're trying to say. There's a statement behind it. Like, I can imagine some right-wingers are still making porn think the cop fantasy is still aces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, because I'm a terrible host, Hadrian, you've been in the porn industry for 25
years.
Two?
Five.
25?
That was 19.
Oh,
I'm 44 now. So, yeah.
Wow. So with you being a performer and everything, and is that's sex work, right?
It is.
That's considered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when you do you, actually, here's a actually a good question for you. Do you watch porn?
Yes,
or do you just generally, you do?
I do.
Have you ever watched any porn that has made you be like, I'm going to turn this off? This
absolutely. Yeah. I've been in adult theaters, and I've gone to the front desk and says, that's not okay. Like, I think it was around like 2016. I just moved to San Diego, and I think Me Too was starting to get some motion, and that, you know, it was just around that. And there was this scene that was going on in the theater where a bunch of guys were jerking off to it. And all of us felt a little, you could like see all of us, like guys that are cruising. We like stopped and looked at each other like, she don't look like she's into this. Like, it looked just like, I'm like, is she exploited in some way? Is she trafficked? What's going on here? Because she's acting in a way that she's a hooker, and she's a sex worker, and she's on screen, but she's not wanting to do this. And I went outside and told the lady at the front desk, I'm like, hey, that's not okay. And she looked at it and she's like, you're right. And she took it out. It was like a moment for all of us. It was really surprising to me. I'm like, I thought I was going to go up there, and she's like, fuck you, watch the porn or leave, something like that. But no, she was like, no, that's not cool.
That is okay. So that is something in the back of my brain I never even thought like was an option.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought you could go, because I was going to say I've been to my fair share of ABSs and stuff, and seen a video that I was like, this feels, it was okay. I'm gonna tell myself here.
If you feel
Tallahassee.
Tell it. If you feel it, 9 times out of 10, yeah, you are not the only one. There's someone else in that room. If you get 10 guys, there's one other person who's with you on this. Say something and say, are we okay with this? And just get that feeling. I think it's okay. And even if it's just looking around, you're jerking off like, my noodle's soft. Are you guys okay with this?
I was, it was a race play porn at an ABS in Tallahassee, Florida. And I was like, and the thing is, I did that look around, and I'm like, there's at least 6 other black people here that are very much kind of giving each other the, should we say something? Like, half of them have wedding rings, so I'm like, of course they're not going to say anything. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm gonna just go. I'm gonna just remove myself from this situation. It was super weird. But that's so cool. I didn't think about going to the manager and being like, hey, so she don't look like she's enjoying herself, and it's throwing off the vibe to everybody. Mm-hmm. You might make some more money if you just
fast forward
or change out the video. That's great.
In videos with strong themes like race play, cop play, rape, trafficking, manipulation, bartering, any of those really icky when you're like, okay, is this person really okay with this or not? No matter what their attitude is, you know, when people put those pieces forward, when somebody's showing that in a theater, showing it at ABS or something like that, they know what they pressed play on. Nobody ever just, oh, I'm just going to throw a bunch of random things in this music list. No, everybody spends time to curate that shit and make sure they're making a statement. So that being played in a place like Tallahassee, anywhere south of Mason-Dixon, that sounds like a statement to me. And I would have, like, what are you trying to say? Why did you think that was okay? I believe in challenging people. And like I say, when we're comparing search terms, that's a conversation. And it's not just about this being judgmental and like, oh, you're into race play. It's more like, what are you saying with that? What do you like? What are you into there? What is it you're really, really about?
Yeah, race play is one that is always like, it's caught me off guard so many times. Like I'll be watching a video that is, you know, an interracial couple, and I won't realize it until halfway through when somebody throws out the N-word, and then I'm completely taken out of it. And I'm like, what did I just watch? What did I participate in here? I feel dirty.
Mm-hmm. See, I feel the same way about like the BBC category
that term is used in general.
Anytime
like,
you're using like a racial identifier to like categorize your porn, it's weird for me. Like, I'm like, do I like big dicks? Yes. Do I really care what color they are? Not really. But I know that some people do, and that is weird to me. Like, the fact that you need, like, why not just have a big dick category and then kind of like look through it? Yeah. Like, you can see what you like. You know, why does it have to be that BBC? You know, and the same thing with like, you know, like the Asian and Arab and all of that. And I'm like, okay, I get that we all have types and that there are like attractions and all of that, but you don't need to, like, they all have thumbnails. So it's not like you need to name it something. You can see, oh, that is a person that I'm attracted to. You don't need to, you know, be categorizing it with such a significant, like, naming convention.
The emphasis on the race is like,
yeah,
that like it doesn't really have anything to do with it,
right?
See, no.
Why are you calling so much?
You see, we're talking about Americans, and we're talking about Western culture mostly when it deals with porn, and we're talking the weird ickiness of our Puritan background and the, you know, that strange feeling where we feel something that we're seeing on the screen. We're like, I don't know if I'm okay with this, but not actually having the conversation with ourselves. I want to be clear: no one's search term is ever going to be yuck to me. I really support everyone's. You know, get what you're into, go for it, figure it out. And that's a conversation with yourself to figure out sometimes. And sometimes it starts with this BBC word. I like searching for that. It gets me what I want instantly. I can get off. I can come. I'm not distracted by other stuff. Because you're right. They could just look for big cocks and go, I happen to like all the black ones. They could do that. You're right. But sexual attraction is a weird thing. And sometimes people are using these search terms and using the internet to explore their sexuality. And that's a very limited conversation inside their head. They're just like, everyone's asleep in the house. I've got 20 minutes. Let me go to this website. Let me get my search in. What got me off last time? Oh, yeah. I saw that big black dick, and it was amazing. I've never been into that before. Yep. BBC. They don't want to sit there and converse with themselves like, am I attracted to this guy that lives next door to me who has a big black cock? No, they don't want to. That's making it real. This has to stay inside the search box.
Exactly.
And that really does like underscore where we are as a society. I mean, I do think that the categories on Pornhub, for example, kind of really give you a snapshot of our culture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it isn't like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, very deliberate in how I like search for something. It's you are going for like the most impactful kind of truly divisive and like filtering kind of.
Doesn't Pornhub
kind of labels? I mean,
doesn't Pornhub put out like a here are the top search terms that were used last year at the end of every year?
Pornhub has a lot of community fucking service that they deliver those statistics.
Yeah. You see a lot of like, I believe I recall there being a lot of like interracial and black things in the South, and it's sort of this like these people don't want to. Like Adrian said, they don't want to have that conversation with self to be like, why am I attracted to this? Right. Or what does that mean? And is that okay? Right. They just, this is what gets me off and this is how I get to it.
And the search terms in the Bible Belt are usually more towards fetish, more towards the more extreme, definitely mm-hmm. more into the race play, right. those kinds of racial divisions, not necessarily race play, but right. And so it is very much that, like, the underbelly of our society. Like, it is the, like, oh no, these are the good Christian folk who go to church, but they make sure you see them go to church. Mm-hmm. And then when Honey goes to bed, he's like black lesbian dominatrix,
right?
Fisting, you know, like, and that's exactly the kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's not so much more of a thing with social relevance kind of integrating. It's kind of more the fact you're integrating indulging in your fantasies and integrating in your fantasies in a healthier way, because I personally believe watching porn is healthy. However, you can take anything to an extreme, or you can go to a place and just about any subject matter. I mean, eating Taco Bell. I mean, at this point in my life, it brings me so much joy that I'm like, I'm going to mention this to my therapist, because I don't think I should be enjoying Taco Bell this much at 2 a.m. on a Saturday, on a Sunday morning. Like, I have work tomorrow, and I'm like,
Are you leaving to go get Taco Bell at 2 a.m.? You don't just happen to be out?
I'm in the parking lot. I wake up at 1 a.m. and then I'm sitting in bed, and I'm like, what would bring me the most maximum amount of joy at this moment?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm not here to judge you, but I do support you in telling your therapist that.
I am here to judge you.
So
should be waking up at 1 a.m. and being like, I got to go get Taco Bell right now.
Yeah, I love that we all just said that, like, we're not going to get yucked by whatever your, like, porn search is, but we are going to get yucked by the fact that you are, like, making, like, setting an alarm to wake up for Taco Bell at 1 a.m. Yeah.
Like, are you a hobbit? Do you have to get fourth meal then?
Yeah.
It's fourth meal. Dominic, you have, is this your, you are a, or you're an erotic author, novelist. I'm going to say novelist at this point, because you're what, on book number four?
Yeah, I just handed in the manuscript for my fourth novel.
All right. And it's, now here's the thing. When you started writing, did literally anything in the outside world, like, affect your writing, or was it just you were writing from the
main impetus for me starting writing was, I spent a lot of time, so we're talking about porn. I spent a lot of time on nifty.org. reading all kinds of stories.
The good old days. Yeah. I love Nifty.
I'll be honest, most of my porn input comes from Nifty still.
Yep. It was a hell of a lot easier to hide stuff on that site than it was other porn growing up. So I spent so much time there, but I wouldn't really find enough stories that were, like, hitting everything I wanted to. So I started writing them myself. A lot of the outside world comes into them, especially when it comes to the sex scenes. Pretty much everything in them is something I have done from one side of it or another, which can lead to some weird conversations when your sister starts reading your stuff. But it's, I've always found, like, you can have more fun with your imagination with that kind of porn. Like, you're able to play a little more in your head as you're reading. But so, like, a lot of my stuff has it's kinky, and there are some things that like toe the line of consent. You know, rape and ravishing fantasies are one of the like most popular things, especially in like romance novels. Like all those fucking Fabio romance novels that women reading, or like half of them are like, you know, women being taken from their homes and captured by these men, blah 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 blah. But as I'm writing that, like, it like there is like a comfort level, and there's like a you're not trying to justify it, but you have like you want to find a way to make it okay for your characters, like for your characters to not be like, you know, horribly abused. It can be difficult. Like, I don't even necessarily know if I'm fully successful in that. I have some reviews that are like not kind to how some of my books open. But it's with porn, I do think you have to give a little bit more leeway to, they are just fantasies. These are like, if you can be aware of the fact that this fucked up thing you might be into, as long as you were aware that this is a fantasy, this is not real life, this is not something that, you know, it would be healthy in real life, I think you're kind of okay. But that's an ongoing conversation you have to have with yourself.
Yeah. So, Reese,
I don't know if I answered your question there.
No, you did. No, it was about the thing with you and Hadrian are in the like sex industry. You guys have a focus and a look into it that, like, you know, a weird pervert like myself coming home at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and I'm like, I stink good, time to open up my favorite video, and then smell my sheets on my chair. You know, I have to lock my door because my dog will push the door open. You know, sort of yokel, random everyday dude. You know, you guys have an insight, and it was like Hadrian was just like, I see set pieces, I see all sorts of I see actors, I see people making a living, you know, which is funny because in my brain, I have to remind myself that depending on the type of porn you're watching, and that line is super blurred now with OnlyFans and Just for Fans, where you can have people that are performers that are putting on a thing or showing them and their partner having fun in the sex industry, and you realize it's all kind of the same idea of performance, performing a service. I see footballs and football players and wrestlers and most sports sports athletes.
There you go.
As performers, they're performing something for people, and it's all linked. So it's just one of the. It's just nice to hear, like, you know, the creative process, like the acting process. So Reese, since you and I aren't completely ingrained in the industry, we have, I was going to say, I know more than just Hadrian, who's been in the porn industry. Going to say, have you ever had a problem with kind of disconnecting from the fantasy, or have you always just been like, post-nut clarity, I'm out, I'm done?
there's definitely been some times where I think that, like, the fantasy lasted post nut. I mean, you know, I don't know how to, like, yes, to answer your question. There are definitely some times where, like, it blurred the lines. I mean, I am into some kind of specific things that, like, don't involve cops and don't involve, like, race play, but, like, I like some specific things, and I think my porn consumption is very indicative of that. And I think it, you know, sometimes blurs the lines.
Says some things.
I don't like when porn is too well acted, if that makes sense. Like, amateur stuff aside, but, like, I need there to be a little awkwardness to kind of tell my brain, hey, this isn't real. When it is like in Hadrian's case, where, hey, this, or his example of, hey, this woman on screen doesn't look like she's having that much fun. Like, yeah, that would completely be a turnoff. So, like, having a little bit of that, like, porn cheesiness there helps, I think.
Right. And
see,
anytime we're taking real life situations, rape, race, play, whatever it is we're using to make the, you know, if you're writing a book, if you're making a story for film or whatever else you're doing, you're making porn, there is this level of inauthenticity that is just inherent because it is still a story and we're still producing fiction. And that we have to do stuff that A, serves the story, serves the characters, all these sort of rules that come into making literature. And all these things are based on horrible things that happen to us in real life. And sometimes we take that and we say, oh, I'm gonna take this horrible thing that somebody did to me one time and I'm gonna say, what if it turned out okay?
One time I was eating a salad.
What if I was into it once and it was okay? Or what if the race play was, oh, the guy was into it and he was okay being taken advantage of, or whatever was going on. You know, it's a matter of that slight turn that makes it serve the character and serve the scene and serve what we're trying to say. We're not making the horrible thing that happened okay. We're saying that I have a fantasy of a better world. And however far I'd reach that is, that's kind of the nature of human hope and our ability to tell stories.
That's such an actor.
Sorry.
No, I love, no, it's great. Listen,
the porn James Upton.
Everybody else on the podcast, I feel like they definitely judge me. I mean, they've said they definitely judge me, but like
I said that already.
I love it. Well, no, the other guys, the regular cast, not the best cast, but no, it's the thing I love about these episodes is that we have had some pretty surprisingly in-depth like conversations. Out of like me just asking questions about where do you think gay bars are going to go post COVID? Do you think some will survive? What do they need to do to survive? And we had like an hour long like dissertation on the state of gay bars and where they need to go for the future. And it was just super it was super interesting. And then after the episode ended, we all just sat there like, that was the most intelligent episode I think we've ever had. And then Brian got mad because he interviewed somebody that was doing a documentary on queer people in Japan. And we were like, that's okay. So I always love it when people do kind of go off on tangents and stuff for these episodes. However, I do need to take a moment to tell the listeners that if you love what you're listening to in your ear holes, we are available on all major podcast platforms, Stitcher, Acast, Spotify, Google Play Music. Is that still a thing? Yes.
It's YouTube Music now.
No, it's YouTube Music now. We need to update the website. Pat, update the website. We also have a Patreon. It's Flame On with an exclamation point, and you can join our patron for $1 with the sad, sad tear of a clown. You can also join us at the Fan Four Stick or Fantastic Four. I call it Fan Four Stick and Pat will not change it to that. So for $4. And then we have two other tiers where you get all of the goodies. I do a couple of mini micros, podcast nuggies. I do a personalized horror scope with some sound engineering I've been attempting to do. So that's been messy and kind of fun. So if you like what you're listening to, we are also on Instagram at Flame On Show podcast, and we're on Facebook as Flame On. So with that, I can't believe we've already buzzed through most of the episode.
Yeah, wow.
This has been great. This has been fun. I think the last one, it was just a lot of ums and me screaming and everything. So this has turned out much better. However, I always got to throw a quick curveball. So in a few words, don't you shake your head. Don't you shake your
I
head.
I hate this part.
I love this part.
I know.
So you are given an unlimited budget. You can literally make any kind of porn film you could want.
Oh, boy.
without incriminating yourselves too much, if you don't wish to do that, I have had an idea for porn in my head and I feel that it's almost perfect no matter what time frame you watch it in, and it's a D&D themed porn where all of the performers or actors are actually playing D&D, but every time they play, their characters have a sex scene. And the porn ends with all of them having an orgy on the table.
Well, along those lines, I would like to film like a super high fantasy, like Rings of Power level production value porn with like dudes in orc makeup that like looks good and doesn't have the bottom covered in green. Like that I would be interested in making. Yeah. Something really, really high production.
Hadrian.
I would just do old school amateur porn. I with unlimited budget, I would travel to the smallest, tiniest towns all over the freaking planet, find the biggest, hungest motherfuckers that you've never heard of that everybody's always wanted to see, and I would sit down in front of their little hut in Fiji or whatever and be like, "How much, motherfucker? Oh, 10,000? 15? 20,000? What you got? What do you need? What do I need? A 10,000 an inch? Let's do it." I would find all these backwoods motherfuckers, and I would find their price, and I'd put them all over the damn internet. Because everyday people need to know that they are allowed to explore their sexuality, and I think that's the best way to do it is with everyday folks.
Oh my god, so I feel like you should do, I don't know if this actually exists, you should do an actual pornographic docuseries where each episode, you find your subject, and you talk to them, and like you talk about consent and everything. Oh my god, that's actually a really good fucking idea, and I've watched the shit out of that.
Yeah.
All right, Reese.
So I don't like porn that has sets or costumes or any kind of acting at all. So I'm kind of with Hadrian on that. Like, I only want the fucking. Like, I don't need plot device. I don't need any of that. I just want there to be enough lube and good lighting that I can see everything. That's all I want.
Absolutely.
So just a really nice ring light and a really good camera.
Yeah, I would spend all the money on lube and ring lights. Like, that's it. And a dirty mattress. Like, that's all I want.
That's like, great. I
want a garage.
Dirty.
Yeah, I want a garage or like a warehouse or something with a dirty mattress in the center of the room and just as many dudes as can fit doing what they do.
I love that.
This sounds like a Treasure Island Media video.
Exactly.
I am a fan of Treasure Island Media.
Like, yeah, is telling on itself here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
I want zero plot, zero acting. I don't want them talking. Like, I want to hear, oh, fuck, or, oh, or, ah, you know, like, that's it. I want to hear grunting and moaning and splashing. That's it.
I kind of like looking at those amateur things like that Treasure Island stuff and just, you know, look at, like, focusing on one guy. Like, look at him. Look at his tattoos. Look at that scar. I wonder what stories and stales he's got all around him. I don't even know. But he's doing a good job right here. In these 10 minutes, he's going to fuck this bottom and move on to let the next guy take his place. It's great. I love it.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, actually, this is great because now I think I'm going to have to bring you guys back for another porn-themed. I think I'm going to be making a porn-themed, side quest.
I'm down.
Of porn because we touched on something that I think is worth exploring more is how it's evolved and changed, because I know you've got OnlyFans, and generally anybody who has enough know-how with a camera and the gumption and the space and the lube, you know, and a vision, anybody with a vision and enough lube and stretching.
No, I've seen people use shampoo. You don't even need lube, apparently. Like,
food.
Ingenuity.
And that's something we didn't talk about, is that some of the changing porn habits that I've experienced over the last few years, especially since the pandemic, especially during the pandemic, was my porn habits changed from random people through the search I find on Pornhub or Motherless or whatever site I'm using today, to looking at my friends making their personal porn, saying, "Oh, I'm getting off to my friends and showing me their fantasies." That's a change in the conversation that needs to be addressed a little bit. Is where it used to be like, "I'm exploring my fantasies through anonymous people. I'm now exploring my fantasies through my friends who are already recognizing and realizing their sexuality." For example, when I was getting early into puppy play, I watched a bunch of puppy play videos that were my friends. I'm like, I get it now because I know these people and I know their headspaces a little bit. So there's a community building that's occurring through porn that's very, very fresh and new.
See, and I am very much the opposite. Yeah. Porn for me is fantasy. I don't want to recognize anyone. I don't want to know their real name. I don't want there to be a condom because condoms remind me that like bad things can happen in the real world. I want full fantasy, no consequences, no ties to reality. Like, yeah. So unfortunately, I have too many friends who do porn. So I support them, but I don't, you know. Yeah.
I get texts regularly from friends who are like, I was in Barcelona having a good time and I turned around and there you were.
Yep. Yep.
I definitely gotta tell on me and Hadrian here. I went to Western Exposure one time and there was this glorious full circle moment in the playroom. And I look up and I'm like, that's Hadrian. And I look down and you walk in. And there's this moment, there's always these moments I have where I'm like, you could just let this happen and enjoy it. Or you could be like, hey, just so you know, this awkward moment. And I watched you look up at the TV and you just kind of shook your head and just went back to what you were doing. But it was this wonderful, like, weird, surreal, full circle moment. And I was like, this is interesting to me.
I can tell you for certain that that is definitely not the first time, probably won't be the last time that that has happened, because I also have had that happen.
this man is like a porn angel, and he just like I can't tell you how many times I've like walked into an ABS or a theater, and I've just been like, I'm like, should I hook up with that guy? He's really hot. I don't know if I have the confidence, and I just see like Hadrian's face on the screen, and I'm like,
you got this, bro.
He would say something. He would say, suck that dick like a champ. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
These are my steps.
Yeah. Here, my children, eat.
Yes.
Eat from this bounty.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Well, so with that, we are at the end of the episode. Hadrian, did you have any socials or anything you would like to plug?
You can find me on Twitter as Daddy McQuigg. You can find me on the same kind of link tree. I have to shamelessly plug a new porn I'm in for Monster Cup tomorrow, so check that out. And this has been fantastic. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right. And Dom, did you have any website or book information you wanted to share?
So my fourth novel, Arenas and Monsters, is coming out February 13th. You can find me online at DominicAshen.com, and I am Dom N. Ashen on Twitter.
Reese, did you have any socials you wanted to plug?
You can find my LinkedIn. No, I don't have any socials that I want anyone that listens to this to find me on. I love you all. Do not friend me. Do not follow me. Remember, I like to keep it anonymous. I don't want the connections.
I was going to say you want a blindfold.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the five videos I have queued up for after this. So, yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and look forward to doing this again. This was great. So,
it was great.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.